The most dangerous racer of all time.
That's Esteban Gutierrez.
Banned from Monaco for life. A unique yet criminal driving style. Each race wilder than the other. With a hilarious journey to F1, very controversial funding.
Va a correr con PDVSA, Venezuela.
And of course, his five horrific seasons in Formula 1. It's the one, the only, Pastor Maldonado.
Hey guys, 1 minute pause here before we dive into the story. And not for a sponsor integration, but simply to say thank you. Thank you to you watching right now. Thank you for being one of the 100,000 individuals who, for whatever reason, decided to subscribe to the channel and help me turn my passion into somewhat of a career. It's honestly been one hell of a journey with a lot of mistakes along the way. Whilst the hate comments took a while to get used to, it's honestly what helps me make the videos better and better. And you wouldn't believe how much time I spend reading through them and responding to as many as I humanly can. So don't be shy and feel free to share what's on your mind. It's not my channel. It's ours. It might sound cringe, but it's truly how I feel about Daily Fueler. It would be nothing without you guys. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you. By the way, if you didn't know, my name's Joe. I kind of want us to get to know each other better, so let me know if something like a Q&A or even a Discord server is something you care about or not. But in the meantime, let's get back to Pastor.
Pastor was born in Maracay, Venezuela, in 1985, and he got into racing pretty early on. At just 4 years old, he started BMX cycling and even became the national runner-up. Then by seven, he started karting. Coming from a less fortunate country where most people lived on just a few dollars a day, I think you can quickly guess what kind of family the Maldonados were. He stuck with karting until he was 18 years old, before finally heading to Europe to chase his dream of becoming the best car rep. race car driver, the best race car driver in history. In 2003, that's when he jumped to single-seaters, racing in the Formula Renault 2000 Masters. He didn't score any points and finished 28th. But before I start talking about him, and trust me, I will later on, remember, it was his first championship, so we can't judge how bad he was just yet. Actually, that same year, he finished 7th in the Italian Formula Renault and won the Winter Cup. Not that it meant that much, but hey, a win's a win, right? But the next year, Maldonado proved he might not be that bad after all, winning the Italian Formula Renault with 8 victories and 6 pole positions, and even got to test an F1 car for the first time at Misano with Minardi. Was this the start of the ultimate driver's racing career? Maldonado made his debut in the Renault World Series with Dams, and honestly, he didn't do much on track, but something happened in Monaco that would change his racing career forever. During one of the free practice sessions, Patrick Pilet brought out the yellow flag after this. And while the marshals were rushing to get the car off track, all drivers were slowing down in that spot. But Maldonado, holy shit. Honestly, I have no words for that. Miraculously, the poor marshal survived. But what had happened was just unreal. He was banned for life from ever competing in Monaco. Yep, you heard that right. Banned from Monaco for life. This penalty would seriously mess up his career. But now is when things get shady as fuck. At the same time, the Venezuelan government, and especially Hugo Chavez, stepped in, paying a huge fine to make sure Maldonado could race in Monaco in the future. The amount's never been revealed, but if you know anything about Monaco, you know this really, really wasn't cheap. But Chavez didn't just see Maldonado as a future sponsor for the country. The driver was actually really close to the regime. I'll show you how Chavez and his petrodollars played a huge role in Maldonado's racing career. But first, we need to understand how he kinda made a name for himself in the lower ranks. That year, while he was suspended, he took part in 4 Italian Formula 3000 races. The next year, he kept racing in the Renault World Series, where he cleaned up his image a bit with some solid results. But once again, things got messy for Pastor. After winning in Misano, he got disqualified because of technical issues with his car, and ended up 3rd in the championship. To be completely fair to him, it is important to note that without that disqualification, he would have won the title. But his impressive performances got him a seat with Trident GP2 in 2007, the very last step before F1. And that season, he actually did pretty well. I don't even know how to say this, but he won in Monaco. But even so, he had his fair share of crashes that year, of course. In 2008, racing for PK Sports, he finished 5th in the championship with another win and 5 more podiums. And well, that wasn't too bad, the Venezuelan still had a knack for getting into accidents. Anyway, in 2009, he joined ART and teamed up with none other than... And while the German won the championship with 100 points and 5 victories, Maldonado, well... Up to this point, it was pretty clear that while Maldonado wasn't the worst driver ever, he wasn't going to be anything special, with just a few wins over 3 whole seasons. Plus, he was incredibly inconsistent. He could win a race and then crash in the next 3. But it was in 2010 with Rapax that he really got serious about making it to F1. 6 wins, 2 more podiums, and 87 points. That's what it took for Maldonado to win the GP2. Yes, unbelievable, but true. GP2 winner. To be fair, the Venezuelan had a great year. Was this finally good enough to make it to F1?
¿Y de dónde saco yo esa plata? ¿Usted me puede ayudar? Yo, bueno, pastor, yo voy a tratar. Entonces llamé, bueno, a PDVSA. Y ahora pastor va a correr con PDVSA Venezuela. Porque él es un patriota, patriota.
The 3rd Venezuelan driver in F1 history, and the first since 1984. All thanks to this man. Even though Maldonado had shown some talent in his GP2 years, it wasn't enough to get him to Formula 1. So, he used his connection to the Chavez regime to pull some strings. Chavez got in touch with Rafael Ramirez, who was the president of PDVSA, country's biggest oil company, to make sure Maldonado got a seat in F1. All that time, the regime's popularity was tanking, with more protests and demonstrations against the government. By sponsoring Maldonado's career, Chavez could take credit for his successes, which could potentially help him out. And obviously, this got a ton of criticism in Venezuela. Maldonado's image quickly became a political symbol. So, that's how Maldonado's F1 career would get started. 2011. After a few mediocre seasons, with cars barely making it into the midfield, Williams was hoping that Rubens Barrichello's experience and Maldonado's cash would help turn things around in 2011. But the season couldn't have started off any worse for the team. The car proved to be painfully slow, and both Barrichello and Maldonado had to retire from the first 2 races because of mechanical issues. Honestly, with that car, there really wasn't much they could do. Barrichello managed to score points in Monaco and Canada, while Maldonado managed to get his first F1 points in Belgium. But more than anything, he became known for this. And on top of all those crashes, the Venezuelan also had some ridiculous mistakes, to put it lightly. In Abu Dhabi, he ignored blue flags and got 30 seconds. In Canada, he not only lost his front wing crashing into Rosberg, but after coming out of the pits, he spun out and lost it again. Because of all these ridiculous mistakes, Maldonado obviously started getting known as a kamikaze on the grid, especially by Hamilton, his favorite target.
I saw Maldonado approaching quite quickly. And anyways, but he came around me and I didn't move anywhere, but happened to swipe across me. I don't know whether it was intentional or not, but I guess we'll see shortly.
Williams only racked up 5 points all season, and with a 9th place in the Constructors' Championship, it was their worst season ever. With Renault joining Williams in 2012, there were higher hopes for the season. After all, things couldn't get much worse. This time, Bruno Senna was Maldonado's teammate. So, new season, new car, but the same old Maldonado. In the very first race, he made it clear that Crash Tour was back, not only taking out Grosjean at the start.
Maldonado on Romain Grosjean, and they make contact, and that's Grosjean going up in the Lotus, and he's got damage to that front right tyre.
But also wrecking his own race at the end.
Oh, we've got a Williams off.
That's got to be passed to Maldonado then, and his race ends on the final lap after such a thrilling battle with Fernando Alonso. It looks like he's hit the wall there.
After that, he retired because of engine problems in Malaysia and a puncture in Bahrain.
Fastest lap of the race as well. Oh, round goes the Williams. Got too much curb there. Keeps it all together, the anti-stall kick.
But managed to score points in China. Then came the fifth round of the championship, where, well, I'm not really sure how to explain what happened.
Maldonado's on a really good outlap right here. Can he qualify ahead of Lewis Hamilton? Yes, he does. The first pole for the Venezuelan.
Simply surreal. Out of nowhere, Maldonado turned into a beast. What the f*** happened? Honestly, I have no idea. That year, the cars were all pretty evenly matched, but to be honest, no one expected that kind of performance from Maldonado. And then came Sunday.
Is this on the weekend that Frank Williams officially celebrated his 70th birthday the best present he could ever wish for? Or are we going to see Lotus justify their potential? We have five lights on ahead of the drivers, and away we go here in Barcelona. It's a decent start for Maldonado, but Alonso's gaining on him as Maldonado pushes him on almost to the grass. Right, there's Fernando Alonso into the lead by the time they get into turn two. He's done it again, the local hero, and he's got out into the lead. Perez.
Maldonado comes into pit for Williams.
So now Williams are forcing Ferrari's hand.
Fernando Alonso is stuck right behind Charles Leclerc at the moment, so maybe playing into Pastor Maldonado's hands.
He's got a chance now.
Alonso is now pitted from first. He was 9 seconds clear. Out goes that Ferrari. There in your screen, you can see the Williams powering down the main straight. Alonso can only do 100 kilometers an hour. Pass to Maldonado, who just sets the fastest lap of the race.
Still no Renault Lotus mechanics in the pit lane, and around goes Raikkonen again. This is playing into Ferrari's hands.
It is. Maybe Fernando Alonso might get stuck down behind Kimi Raikkonen. He's going for it into turn one. He's got the lead back, Maldonado. Taking him two laps to do it.
Crucial.
Just keep it going now for two and a bit more laps. As Pastor Maldonado makes his way now, 2012, we have four from four, another different winner, a new winner in Formula One. It's Pastor Maldonado ahead of Fernando Alonso. Kimi Raikkonen's challenge, he came close but not close enough, and down at Williams with their first Grand Prix victory since Juan Pablo Montoya in 2004.
I honestly have no words. Maldonado had just become the first Venezuelan to win a Formula One race. And it wasn't just luck or anything. He actually won on track. This win helped shut up many critics. Was this finally what he needed to take his career to the next level? I hate to say it, but after his win, Maldonado went right back to his old days. And honestly, I'd even say he got worse.
Hamilton forces Maldonado off the track. Oh, and they do touch! Under threat, but now from this man here, Maldonado, who's clouted the wall and has spun round.
He even crashed just after starting an exhibition in Caracas. It's safe to say that by then, Maldonado was the most dangerous driver on the grid. By the end of the year, Senna had scored points in twice as many races as Maldonado, but his win in Spain was enough to keep him on the team. Well, that and his petrodollars, of course. 2013. The rookie Valtteri Bottas joined Maldonado for the new season, which ended up being a letdown once again. The car was way slower than in 2012, making it nearly impossible to score points, and neither Bottas nor Maldonado could do much about it.
Oh, and Pastor Maldonado is out of a race again in 2013, and we have only had two races, and Maldonado has failed to finish either of them.
They only managed to score in one race each, with Bottas racking up 4 points, and Maldonado just one. Bottas also pulled off a third place in qualifying in Canada, a one-off performance, like his in Spain in 2012. But once again, all Maldonado showed was his knack for causing chaos.
That might allow Sutil in, there might have been contact, there certainly is now.
No. Oh, goodness.
That was with Maldonado. Pass to Maldonado, and they bang wheels, don't they?
Right.
And after 3 years of wrecking cars, with a single win and rare signs of actual speed and talent, Williams finally let him go at the end of the season and replaced him with Felipe Massa for the next year. Was it over for Maldonado?
Por ahora el futuro de Pastor es incierto. Si bien los medios internacionales lo ubican en Lotus, también es verdad que para la escudería británica el venezolano es simplemente su segunda opción.
2014, new year, new colours. And just by looking at his car, you can tell how he got the seat. And guess who his teammate would be? Romain Grosjean. It was truly a kamikaze duo.
Oi, oi, oi.
And let's just say he started things off with a bang.
More than Fernando Alonso. Ted, that's Esteban Gutierrez and Pastor Maldonado.
It takes some serious skill to hit a car and make it literally fly away. A stop-and-go penalty, 3 points on his super license, and a five-place grid penalty for the next race. The FIA didn't know what to do with Maldonado anymore. In the first practice session of the next race in China, Maldonado got lost trying to find a button on his steering wheel. But that wasn't all, because in the next race, he had another ridiculous moment when he came into the pits. The mechanics couldn't believe what they had just seen. Maldonado's crashes were reaching the point of being straight up embarrassing. In Spain, he crashed before even starting his qualifying lap.
There, it's gone. On the Astro.
And in the race, he lost another point on his super license because of this.
Sebastian Vettel, and talking of taps, there's Pastor Maldonado and Marcus Ericsson, and that looks very scruffy.
In Hungary, he crashed again.
Yeah, and boom.
And both into the pits. Racing incident?
And in one of the practice sessions in Belgium, I don't even know what the hell this was. In a season where the car wasn't great either, Maldonado only scored points in Austin with a ninth place, while Grosjean scored twice and was, of course, always ahead of him. It was an absolutely awful season for Maldonado, but the best was yet to come. 2015, Lotus started using Mercedes engines, which meant they'd be faster, and both Grosjean and Maldonado could actually start competing for some points. However, by this point, there was no turning back for Maldonado's career. He had become the crash magnet. Even when he wasn't crashing himself,
as we see Pastor Maldonado taking a lot of curb there and taking Marcus Ericsson as well.
He's come off is that Albany? He's gone wide.
Someone else would crash into him.
From behind by the Toro Rosso and going off into the barrier already is the Lotus of Pastor Maldonado. Two Red Bulls and there is a Lotus and a McLaren.
We're in Hungary where he not only crashed into Perez.
Oh dear, a Sergio Perez, a man who had a crash of his own.
But also sped in the pit lane and behind the safety car, racking up three penalties in one race. And yes, that season he did have some relatively good performances, scoring points in six races, but once again, his teammate crushed him in every way, scoring almost twice as many points. It was clear that no matter how much time passed, Maldonado would never learn from his mistakes and kept his reckless driving style. He brought in a ton of petrodollars for the team, sure, but he caused millions of dollars in car damages every year. With all this in mind, and with Venezuela's crisis becoming worse and worse, Lotus decided to let him go at the end of 2015. And after years of causing chaos in F1, no team even dared to look him in the eyes. In his 96 F1 races, he retired exactly 32 times, a clean 1 in 3. Whether due to mechanical failures, accidents caused by others, or mostly his own accidents. In his whole F1 career, he had a total of 52 accidents, meaning there are more races he'd mess up than races where he didn't, and he just had a special talent for crashing. And don't get me wrong, when he didn't crash, he actually wasn't horrific in terms of speed. He made that clear in Spain in 2012. But his inconsistency was way, way too high for him to ever truly deserve a spot in F1, and the only reason he stayed so long was clearly the money. During his 5 seasons in F1, PDVSA paid $197 million to keep him around, and you'd have to add to that what they had already spent since they started sponsoring him in 2005. Over $200 million just to win one Italian Formula Renault championship, one GP2 championship, and one Formula One race. And it's not like he was sponsored by a rich which country either. And after his time in Formula One, the Venezuelan has said some pretty crazy stuff like this.
To find the limit, you need to cross the limit. I think I have the big balls to cross the limit every time.
Yeah, he clearly had the balls. And now, the moment you've all been waiting for. Where would you put Maldonado on our WOTES tier list? I want to know what you think. Honestly, for me, he's been a tough driver to rank. Sure, he won an F1 race, but that and a couple of other good performances are pretty much all he's got. Most of the time, he was just crashing cars, taking out rivals, and making dumb mistakes. He could be fast on a good day, but that was pretty much a lottery. Because of all this, I think he deserves to be in the bad category, right next to Gotifi. His win is the only thing saving him, and I think Stroll is a better and more consistent driver overall than Maldonado. The Venezuelan has totally earned this spot, with all his crashes and ridiculous performances. What do you think? If you want to compare him with the rest on the list, make sure to watch this playlist. And as always, thank you for watching.